They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise me.
Because you'll never be anything but a common frump whose father lived over a grocery store and whose mother took in washing.
Hey, y'all, welcome to Who Shot Ya? It's your boy, I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. That's me. That's my voice. And what a show we have for you today. This is a special one, I think. I believe this is a special one. Usually, to my left, I have Sometimes It Snows and April Wolf, but she ain't here today. She's out seeing the world, y'all. Instead, I'm going to start off introducing my guest to my right. It is the Lord Chief Rocka, number one Chief Rocka, the dope rhyme sayer, film producer, festival programmer, Treya the Dope Rhyme Slayer Clark.
Yay!
Treya!
All those things are true.
Yes, those are all facts.
Those are my jobs, and I'm not April. You nailed it.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like this is a moment, right?
It really is. Well, yeah, it's a smaller crew.
Yeah.
It's you and me holding down the, like...
Holding down the fort.
The OG positions.
Yep.
And then we have a new young buck.
We got another one.
Raring to go.
Raring to go up in this piece.
It's exciting.
Yes.
It's very exciting.
Drea, it's been a minute since I've seen you. What's good with you? What's going on in your world?
What's good with me, I think, will be of particular interest to you, Ricky.
I like that. Excellent.
So I discovered this week that Pitchfork has this video series called Verses, where they ask different musicians about a musician that's inspired them in a particular song. And there's one, and it's Big Boy.
I already know what is happening,
yeah,
yo.
Yeah. And it's so good, am I right? And so Big Boy, whom I love, from Outkast, whom I love even more, like, and I miss so much. Mm. And listening to him, and the musician and the song that he selected is Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill. Exactly.
Yes.
Gasp,
right?
Gasp earned. And it's so great because it's unexpected, and I love it when musicians are pulling influences from different genres. I love it when any artist does, when you hear like a filmmaker quote like, oh yeah, I was super into John Ford Westerns, and so I worked it into my female introspective. You're like, yes, meld those things. And listening to Big Boy talk about his love of Kate Bush and analyzing her song, and also I love Outkast, but I don't understand why any music was made after Running Up That Hill. Like, I feel like music achieved what it could, and then we should just all switch to just talking. But so, like, I love that song to such a primal level. Anyway, it was such a very exciting thing, and it introduced me to this new kind of YouTube thing, and then I will start, you know, wormholing that as you do. But
yeah,
yes.
Down a rabbit hole.
Big Boy and Kate Bush.
That's
Come on,
amazing.
That's good.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That I actually didn't watch like him saying like talking about the verse, but just seeing that he picked like Kate Bush, I was like, of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did. That makes all the sense.
But Ricky, he follows it up with saying his number two, he's like, my number one famous artist is tied, and it's Kate Bush and Bob Marley.
Okay.
Tied for, and he was like, they're 1A and 1B. And two is NWA. And
Boom.
I was like, this is why I listen to your music.
Wow.
Like, it was such, anyway,
yeah.
It's great.
Fantastic. Shout out to Big Boy. And our special guest that we have with us.
Hi.
Yes. You might recognize her voice because she hosts a podcast right here on Maximum Fun called Go Fact Yourself.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. She's a comedian. She's an actor. A writer. They said it wouldn't last. We had to prove them wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Helen Hong.
Hey.
You feel me?
By the way, I love, I say this often, but I love that I have a podcast called Go Fact Yourself. Because you can say it like that.
Yes.
And you're not really, you know, you can say it however you go fact yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you
totally.
Can process
you can put
a
as
lot
much,
with that.
Yeah.
Do you spell it F-A-K-T?
No,
but
sometimes I say it that way.
Yeah, hit.
Go.
Put some stank on it. Put some
go
stank
on it. Go fact yourself.
I wish you would. Helen, how have you been?
All what I want to do, by the way, okay. After this conversation is listen to Kate Bush.
Yeah, it is. Do, 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 do. I won't sing anymore. We'll have to pay licensing rights.
Yeah.
My perfect voice.
I don't know what the song is, but her and Prince wrote a song together.
What?
Yes. Yeah, that's how I learned about Kate Bush.
Okay, no. We have to stop right now.
I feel like
we need to find that.
Stop recording. I need this one.
Super producer Casey, please find that information for us.
Wait, Helen, did you say what was good with you?
Yeah,
I didn't say what was good with me. And because I was calling back to Kate Bush. But I just learned within the last week that you can ask Siri to name that tune, and she will.
Ooh. Wait, Siri will Shazam.
Siri somehow has swallowed Shazam, or has mind melded with Shazam, or
yes.
Something. She somehow did it with Shazam. Mm,
they hit it.
Yeah, they hit
it.
And now it's and now you can Shazam via Siri.
I like
and
that.
And you can be in a club or listening to something on somebody else's phone and be like, Siri, what song is this? And she will freaking tell you.
Hell yeah.
Hello. Oh my gosh. Mind blown. And so recently, that's how I found out about this song that I don't know if you guys know of. I guess the band is called Empress Of, and the song is called When I'm With Him.
Mm.
And I just discovered it, and it's been I've been playing it like nonstop because it's
wait, like you heard it in a public place.
I
you
heard
talked
it
to
a,
your phone.
I literally asked
said,
my phone what song
phone.
Is this, and she said, "I believe this is by Empress Of When I'm With Him." And I was like, and it was.
And it was. And now you have a new favorite
what?
Song.
Yes.
And I've been playing it nonstop.
You live in the future.
Oh, my God. The future is now.
What genre of music is Empress Of?
It's like it's
death metal.
It's it's like dancey pop.
Okay.
Dancey pop female vocalist.
All right.
Dancey pop. Like Robin-ish, I guess.
I like Robin.
I
like
Robin.
The boldness of ending your band name with a preposition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That takes some.
It takes a minute.
Takes some ovaries.
Empress of.
Empress of reminds me of Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was a band back in the day.
Sure
right?
was.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Ricky, what's good with you?
Oh, what?
See, that's a real thrill for me. I never.
It's a good
segue. I'm always like fighting to get to ask. Yeah.
I appreciate your enthusiasm
yes.
for this, Drea. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show. Helen, this is your first time here, but
yeah.
Sometimes my close personal friends will ask me, they'll say, Ricky.
I know exactly what they ask you.
Why do you do dope shit? And I will say, close personal friends of mine, Barack Obama, thank you for asking.
He asks them that all the time. You'd be surprised.
Have I brought that up before?
He doesn't even say
crazy.
Hi when he calls you.
No,
he
just
says,
like, boom.
Why do you do dope
shit? Why do you dope shit?
And I'm like, all right, Barry, here we go.
Yeah.
So last week I got to do these. I got to DJ. You know, I DJ here in Los Angeles as well. I got to DJ at the Shortstop. Yes. Yeah, you should come through sometime.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's, you know, I got a little. Little thing I like to do, make people dance.
I'm 27% more impressed with you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, 27%.
Thank you.
Very specific.
So I give the people their Janet Jackson.
Yes.
You know, I give the people their Outkast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some Sheila E. You know, I try and get in. I try and put my back into it. So in this world now that I've put myself in, I also like to go watch other DJs and enjoy their performances as well. And just recently, Spike Lee, I call him Spike.
I seriously was just going to
we tight like that.
Jump on making fun of you, but I'm glad that you course corrected.
I did.
Yeah,
I heard myself.
Spike, you know, Spike Lee.
My boy, my motherfucker. Every year he does an annual Brooklyn Loves Michael Jackson huge block party.
Nice.
And he has a DJ who plays there called, and the DJ's name is DJ Spinna.
Okay.
And he plays here once a year for a Stevie Wonder tribute dance party.
Oh, my God. And I have a lady boner. everything you just said, lady boner. Swing.
And I've gone every year since I've lived here in Los Angeles for the past, like, you know, 6 or 7 years at the Echoplex. This year, it's going to be across the street at MacArthur Park.
What?
Yes.
What?
It's going to be during
outside?
The day, Saturday from 4 to 10.
This Saturday.
DJ Spinna.
At MacArthur Park.
At MacArthur Park.
Right there, in the little pavilion.
You don't even know. I mean, Ricky does get a cut of the tickets.
I was going to say, are you getting paid? Because this sounds like an ad. Hashtag ad. Hashtag sponsored.
Wait, so is the whole thing inspired by Stevie?
Yeah, they will play all Stevie Wonder cuts. I mean, he plays like remixes.
This sounds
amazing.
He plays
covers.
And is it free?
It's free.
No.
What? And it is, I'm telling you, it is a
party. He's not getting much on this door cut.
Hashtag no, not an ad.
Not an ad.
Hashtag no cut.
DJ Spinna finna be broke. But it is like, it's a... just a big party. Like,
this sounds amazing.
Oh, it's so dope. I'm so excited to see what it's going to be like in the park outside dancing to Stevie Wonder.
That's amazing.
Yeah. In broad daylight.
In broad daylight,
what?
Yo, as the sun comes down. On today's episode, we're talking about the Happy Time Murders. We will be testing our puppet knowledge in a segment called Let's Play Name the Puppet. I love you. Whoa. Oh, we're gonna get a call into the show from our boy Alonzo Duralde, who is at the Venice Film Festival. And as always, we will have our staff picks for you. Before we do all that, it is time for our world famous news segment called It a Dick, short for Is This Important and Do I Care? Here's how it works. I will read a news blurb headline. Drea will also read a news blurb headline. And then any one of us can jump in with our own take by answering these two simple questions. Is this important and do I care? So let's start off with the first one here. Our boy, as you know, I don't know if he's your boy, but
he's my boy.
Is he? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I've been a fan of this man since I was a youngin' myself. Ethan Hawke having harsh words for superhero movies that have been released lately. He did an interview with Filmstage, and he had this to say about the film industry, in particular about 2017's Logan. Quote, "Now we have the problem that they tell us Logan is a great movie. Well, it's a great superhero movie. It still involves people in tights with metal coming out of their hands," end quote.
Mm.
And then he goes on to say, there's a big difference, but big business doesn't think there's a difference. Big business wants you to think that this is a great film because they want to make money off of it. End quote.
You know, Ethan Hawke was my boy until I heard that quote.
Ooh.
I'm going to ding in, though, and say the reason this is actually important to me is this is yet another example of people's inability to have sharp critical analysis of what they're reading. Mm. Because that quote, if that was it, it's sum total, I'd be like, oh, fuck you.
Uh-huh.
I've had a crush on Troy Dyer my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And now I gotta let it go. Except for then I went and read the original lengthy.
Oh, context?
Yes.
Hashtag
and this
context?
Was taken from a really long interview. Hashtag context.
Hashtag context.
It was from a very long interview he did at the Locarno Film Festival, which is like a super bougie artistic festival. And so he was speaking and he's referencing several times the importance of film festivals, how important it is bringing up underrepresented talent that's not being acclaimed from like the big studios.
Agreed.
And then he's also referencing these amazing John Sayles, early Linklater, like what he's talking about in sort of whole film theory is really interesting and important because he's talking about, like, as a performer, the different he worked with Antoine Fuqua and he worked with Linklater. You know, that people learn from all these different things,
right.
And if we're not giving a place for those smaller films, how are we going to find more Linklaters or Fuquas or John Sayles? And then his example was, my guess is it was like the first big movie that came to mind. So the irony that Logan is actually an incredible standalone film.
An amazing
and has
film.
Almost yes. nothing superhero-y about it.
Agreed.
Which is why there's no tights in that movie.
There's no
tights in that
movie. There's no metallic super suit.
Yes.
It's probably just the
nails come out once.
Right.
Yes.
And it's probably what came to his mind when he was making this argument, when he probably meant to say like the Avengers or whatever.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think his
Deadpool
overall
2.
Point I was down with. This point, yeah, fuck this point. But his overall
I mean, if he had said Infinity War, I'd be like, yeah, I could hear. I could see that. But Logan, I mean, first of all, you all know that Patrick Stewart is like my homie.
You were just talking about that.
I love him so much.
Absolutely.
And he does really incredible work. Mm-hmm. And in this movie particularly, you know, him and, oh my God, why am I blanking on the actor that plays Logan?
Hugh Jackman
and Patrick Stewart had both played these characters for like 10 plus years.
Decades,
And it was a very emotional movie. It was a very emotional
story. Are you
kidding?
I cried so much. That movie at the end, when she tips the cross to the ex, I was like, oh, snot.
Yes.
There's all the snot that's ever been in my head, and now it's on my face.
Yeah. Wrong example.
Yeah, just up your movie example, Ethan. We're down with you. We support what you're saying.
Yeah. No.
Oh, now, this question was asked to me before we started recording, y'all. When is the last time I watched Big Trouble in Little China? And the answer is hours ago. Hours ago, everybody, because I love my John Carpenter. I love my Kurt Russell. I love Big Trouble in Little China.
He loves Kim Cattrall.
Shout out to my girl Kim Cattrall. Shout out to them ivory eyes, you know what I'm saying? Or jade eyes,
jade
I'm sorry.
Eyes.
Is this a bad time to tell you that I've never seen it?
Not at all. No, no. This is a perfect time
I've
to tell you.
I've never seen it.
And then now it's time for you to get out.
GTMO.
It's just another movie you get to see.
Yep. All right.
Well Ricky, why is it back in the news?
Yes, so yeah. You might need to watch it because they are going to be making a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China, and it will be starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm.
The Jade Rock.
Yeah, boy.
Well, then I am going to watch it.
Yes.
Because I love him.
You just made the same noise I make when we talk about The Rock. So I'm grateful.
Girl.
The president.
I love him.
The president of The Rock's production company, Seven Bucks Production, his name is Haram Garcia. He did an interview with Collider, and he said, the idea is not to actually remake Big Trouble in Little China. You can't remake a classic like that. So what we're going to, so what we're planning to do is we're going to continue the story. We're going to continue the universe of Big Trouble in Little China. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, The Rock, he's not going to be playing the role of Jack Burton. That's Kurt Russell.
Okay.
You know what Jack Burton always says? The check is in the mail. Come on now.
I mean.
We don't know when the movie's going to be released. We don't know too many details yet other than that it's going to be a kind of a sequel and takes place in this world. Is this important? Do you care? Keep your hands off my precious Big Trouble in Little China, y'all.
Wait, so do you not want them to do
a
sequel?
No, thank you.
Really?
Absolutely.
Huh.
So that's where I'm telling you.
Even though The Rock is going to be in it?
We are too nice to The Rock, y'all. I love you, The Rock, but we are too nice to you.
That is true. He was in that garbage earthquake movie.
He's been
San Andreas.
See what I'm saying?
Okay, here, I feel like the much bigger flag is how problematic that entire motion picture is. Like, especially considering all of the whitewashing that we've had in Asian-specific films, that movie is, I would love to watch you watching that movie.
Yeah, I think that's why I haven't seen it, is like the title already is a little
Because no one is more charismatic or wonderful than Kurt Russell. So sure, I was all for that. And I remember loving it. And it was one that I rewatched just a couple of years ago after not seeing it for a long time. So seeing it now through my modern questioning eyes.
Your woke eyes?
Yeah, my slightly still from the Midwest eyes. And
you're woker than
my
before?
My woke-esque eyes. And I was like, oh, problem. Because it's yeah. And so that's the thing. And I say that not that it couldn't be done well, but like, man, wouldn't you want to get on top of a property that has none of these glaring? Like, how do we step around the fact that like every single Asian person knows Kung Fu?
I'm going to have to watch it.
All the women are dragon ladies. It's all these different gangs in little.
Now I'm going to have to watch it when I'm feeling like I want to be pissed off at something.
And spiritual mysticism, the mysticism of the Orient, like things that I'm like, problem.
Oh, yes. That's what I call my vagina, by the way. You want to meet the mysticism of the Orient? Come on, bitches.
I'm all with it. Hell yeah. Treya, I'm going to respectfully disagree with
the same point here. You don't want it made, and I don't want it made. Can't we come from different ways to that same agreement?
I see a future episode where we break down Big Trouble in Little China.
And I would do that.
I think that would be amazing.
Invite me back.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to watch it and be like, and bring my Asian ass up in here and be like, all right.
Let's knock out this last
story.
This
is a true concern of mine. Okay. Netflix may stop sending physical DVDs by 2022, but it still has 3 million subscribers. So it came out in Variety. They are most likely ending the service by 2022.
Wait,
which
who is still getting DVDs from Netflix?
3 million people. Producer Casey is one of them.
Casey raised his hand.
And they brought in over $53 million this past quarter in usage. Here is the reason why. Helen, what? You're about to switch this frown upside down.
Okay.
Because there are so many titles that are available on DVD that are not available streaming. And the minute, and it's already dwindling because we don't have video stores, we don't have this, because the rights for films in order of like what you can stream, who owns them, who owns the music rights for them, they're totally different things. So there are so many titles. There's already, you guys talked about it earlier, there's already like 350 some, which seems like a small number, but it's a huge number if you think of how many movies come out a year, like studio movies. 350 big titles are not available streaming to purchase on iTunes, like any of that, including things like True Lies and Willow, which I brought up already.
Oh, I love Willow.
And so if you don't own those and you can't find them on like random ways, and if Netflix shuts these things down, it just means
those movies are never seen again.
It's closing off the pipe of like what you have access to. And it's a bummer. It is a bummer.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's exactly, I mean, and that's exactly why I care about it. Because we're just going to lose those movies. They're not going to.
Oh, snap. I did not
They're not
going to
pay
about
more.
Yeah,
they'd rather just get rid of that expense completely and then tell you what it is that you can watch.
And for a studio, for them to re-release something digitally even, what they have to go through legally, what contracts have to be re-upped, what they have to pay for SAG performance. Like, there's a million things in there.
That is so interesting. Yeah. But this is why I am loath to get rid of my DVD collection, even though my roommate, who's much younger than me and squarely a millennial, thinks I'm an old lady for owning DVDs. But I own Willow.
Yeah, you do.
Yes.
On DVD.
Yeah, you do.
And because I can't get it anywhere else.
Yes, totally.
You shake your teacup at her.
Yes, yes.
And you say, listen, young
and
lady.
And I'm like, listen, kid.
Yeah. Listen, youngin.
In my
listen,
day.
Little one. You can't necessarily find everything streaming.
No, you can't. And it is a good personal challenge for people. Every once in a while, if you have that thing, you have a great conversation with someone about a movie, and then I'll go home and be like, I want to watch that right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I can't even. I'll pay human money for this, and I can't do that. And
human money.
And you kind of assume that you can, but you cannot.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's sad.
Yeah.
All right, on that bummer note.
Yeah. Right on that bummer note, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about the Happy Time Murders, y'all. You're listening to Who Shot Ya?
Ooh, girl, I'm lost. It's a scary time out here for intersexual minorities.
Don't worry, I know a place where we can learn, laugh, and play.
Where?
Minority Corner with the Wonder Twins of Podcasting, Aneke and James.
Wow, they sound fabulous, smart, and incredibly attractive.
At Minority Corner, you'll get everything from the history you were never taught.
Like the history of Chinese immigration, or who was James Baldwin, or African queens of old, like Queen Candace.
Plus, awesome book recommendations outside of the usual white male cisgender canon. Interviews from comedians, artists, writers, and activists.
Well, that sounds like a party. But hold up. What about movie and TV reviews starring folks whose melanin is popping?
Well, you know Minority Corner loves their deep dive into pop culture, all from a perspective that's Black, queer, and ladylike.
Ooh, yes. And with the election just around the corner, sounds like Aneke and James are going to get us information.
Not to mention self-care tips, how to be an ally, and how you can get involved in your community so you can help fix this mess.
You know what? James and Aneke kind of sound like us.
That's because
They are us. Whoa.
Minority Corner.
Welcome back to Who Shall Ya? I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Joining me in the studio today are...
Hi, I'm Helen Hong.
Hey, I'm Drea Clark.
Yes, she is. Yeah, you are. Today we are going to be talking about the Happy Time Murders. Drea, if you please, could you give us a brief synopsis of this puppet film?
I could.
Gracias.
And I would.
Gracias.
The Happy Time Murders is set in a world where puppets live next to humans, but they are second-class citizens, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Our lead is a disgraced former police officer who was the only puppet on the force, Mr. Phil Phillips. He is now a hard-boiled detective. It is structured as noir, so of course he is set up in one case by a leggy, mysterious femme fatale who comes in.
Who's
also a puppet. And as he is starting to dig into clues, a series of murders happen, killing off one by one members of a famous TV show called the Happy Time Gang. And so he and his former partner, played by Melissa McCarthy, are reunited. And neither of them are happy about that because they disbanded with bad circumstances, and they're tracking down clues and going through raunchy stuff and death. Mm-hmm. And you guys, they solve it by the end. They solve it, and things might turn around for Phil Phillips. I don't want to give anything away. So that's the Happy Time Murders.
That is the Happy Time Murders. Here's the word that has been going on online about this movie, that it's the worst movie of the year. And what needs to happen is people need to tell me more that something is the worst movie of the year, so afterwards I can be like, that wasn't that bad.
I was surprised when I actually watched it.
I want to hug both of you right now. Because I had the same... I generally was like... Man, if I have to come in there and just face people who are like, worst movie of the year, and they're going to list things that I found fine, I'm going to be so annoyed. And I had that same reaction. And you said you were too?
I had a Google alert or some sort of news alert pop on my phone that said, the Happy Time Murders, and the headline was, yikes. And I was like, oh man, I gotta watch this thing to go talk about it on our podcast.
I'm so glad I got invited this week.
If the review starts with yikes, this is a garbage piece of trash. But I watched it and I was like, what's with the yikes, y'all?
Yeah.
This was not that bad. I mean, it wasn't the best movie I've seen all year.
We've talked about worse, though, here.
100%. If you're going to tell me the movie is the worst movie of the year, I better see like a boom mic in the shot. Like at one point, like the film better be like reversed and shit better be upside down. But like, if you just didn't find it that funny, that's fine.
And like
the jokes just didn't hit for you.
And also give it some props for trying. I mean, this was totally original.
Totally.
It was. I don't think I've ever seen a movie. I haven't seen a movie that was humans and puppets interacting in an R-rated, with an R-rated storyline. And this was, you know, at least they were trying something interesting.
Yes.
Like, I don't even remember last time humans and puppets interacted since Labyrinth?
No, the Muppets.
Right.
When Jason Segel did the re-thing.
Right.
Whatever. No, I had the
those
same.
Out.
Yeah, I agree though, Ricky. I wonder, I'm like, is this some brilliant person's secret marketing somewhere? They're like, because... It's not the volume of people that picked up on the tagline worst movie of the year. Because I was looking through just in preparation, I was kind of looking through some of those reviews because I found it fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Peter Travers earlier from Rolling Stone, and I read his entire review and was like, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, but you keep ending all these sentences like what you just listed was a bad thing. And I was like, no, that was an enjoyable moment. Or he would say things like that, you know, they mentioned at one point. So Melissa McCarthy's character, there's numerous things that led to the dissolution of their police partnership. And one of them was she took a bullet because he couldn't properly shoot another puppet, and it involved her getting a puppet liver replacement, which is kind of funny. And then she's looked down on because of that or whatever. But there was something about he said something casually of like, oh yeah, and then they built in this thing about her having a puppet liver as if that's going to give it a story any depth. And I was like, isn't that what gives a story depth?
Yeah.
Like, you put in a story beat that leads to something about this character that's trying to say something about this world. And I thought, I totally agree with you. It wasn't just seeing puppets and humans interacting. I was so very happily surprised with the mobility of the puppets. Like, I've never seen puppets walking upright as much as they are.
Yeah, totally. That's when I was like... When the first time I think it's like you see him like get out of a car.
Yes.
And it's not like the crazy like Muppet walking where they're like, he's actually like left, right, left, right. I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
And guys, I don't know if this is a spoiler, and if it is, heads up. there's Puppet Vag.
Oh, Puppet Vag. There's more Puppet Spooge than you would ever think. I'm not going to lie. And we also, I did see it. I saw it at the Arclight. I saw it at Packed Theater. I should put in here, total disclaimer, I'm good friends with the writer of this.
Oh, okay.
So I do know that. I'm good enough friends that I would happily trash him. His name is Todd Berger.
Oh, perfect.
And I would tell him if he was terrible. but the jokes made sense to me, so I don't feel bad. Like, in to the sense, like, again, I was bracing to be like, oh, you made a movie. Like, what's the roundabout thing?
Yes.
But so the theater we saw it in was like, cheering, like when there's the whole sex shop scene that just keeps going. Like, first off, the guy that works at it, the Muppet that works at it, is so incredibly crafted and specific characterization. He opens, you see this sex act with a cow and an octopus.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then it keeps going that he goes down the hall and he sees something else. And then I was like, it was raucous. The theater I saw it and these things were landing, it was playing. And again, with the puppetry of it, like, I've not seen puppets mobile in that way. There's two fight scenes where Melissa McCarthy is like
the fight scene, yep,
punching full and fighting,
on, like full on brawling down with a room full of puppets.
Yeah.
It's actually really entertaining and interesting to see because she's like fully physically fisticuffs with puppets,
which is fun to
her. Which is interesting.
I mean, like, for her, I can see, like, yeah, I'd like to be, you know, she did Spy. I'd like an action movie. What's a twist I can do on it? Oh, yeah, I'm going to beat the shit out of these puppets.
I love that you watched it in a full theater with Rock. I watched it in a theater with four other people.
Say, oh, my gosh.
There was, like, maybe 10 people in our theater.
And, like, we all laughed.
They
the
were all loving
us.
It. I was, I mean, it just, like, I had problems with the movie. I wasn't crazy about it. But I was just like, this is fine. This is fine. At one point, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I fell asleep. I did, yo. I fell asleep, and I woke up, and he was just jizzing everywhere. Just so much puppet jizz everywhere.
There's a puppet jizz scene.
And I was like, I don't have to be awake for this. And I closed my eyes again.
That's what she said. Boom, 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 boom.
Hey.
And then I woke up, and I was like, oh, shit, Joel McHale's in this. All right, here we go. Now, Drea, I don't know if you know this, but our guest right here.
This guest.
Hong, this guest right here.
Yes, that's me.
Audition or almost audition?
I auditioned for the Happy Time Murders.
The Happy Time Murders.
And
on
when
now.
I actually was booked on this podcast by our good friend Laura Swisher,
senior producer,
she said, hey, would you mind talking about this movie? I was like, yeah, I wouldn't mind. And also, I could talk about Crazy Rich Asians if you want. And she goes, no offense, and I don't know how to take this. I don't know how you would take this, but I see you more as a puppet person than an Asian.
Yes!
And I was like, well, ironically, I auditioned for the Happy Time Murders and not for Crazy Rich Asians. So apparently the
Hollywood
industry
agrees.
Thinks so.
Yes. Wait, what did you audition for?
I swear to God, this is going to sound insane, but I think I was auditioning to play the Melissa McCarthy part.
That would have been amazing.
That is crazy.
Because I remember the sides were opposite. It was extensive amount of sides, and it was opposite the puppet.
That is crazy. I thought,
and I don't, yeah. And I, and it, what it definitely wasn't the Maya Rudolph character.
Okay,
it was.
Okay,
I want to say that they were just running the sides, maybe for another character.
Right,
gotcha.
But I swear to God, it was for the Melissa McCarthy character.
Okay,
well, only because I know she's been on because she was a producer of it as well, and that character used to be a male. It used to be a story of two male detectives, which is normally the case, and then obviously they switched it when she came on in the lead, which was exciting. I would love to see the version of you as Connie Edwards. And I thought Melissa was great in this. And one of the interesting things, and I wonder if it's something that set critics back or maybe audiences, because I know not all audiences have been responding, but it's very much a two-hander, which is to say that Phil Phillips, the puppet, is as big, if not bigger, a role than Melissa McCarthy's character.
Oh, for sure.
And it's almost... For sure. Were you almost, when you were watching it, kind of adjusting to that all the time of like, oh, I wonder when this is going to be handed over to her?
Definitely.
But he was so strong.
I agree.
Was something about
yes.
his voice, the performance, the shape of that puppet's face. I was, I, it was maybe my favorite part of the puppetry, because I was like, oh, this is an art form. Like, this man is so good, because he's the one also acting his own character. And
yeah. If you stick through and watch through the credits, you can see, like, you see how they actually filmed with people.
You see how the jizz happened.
Yeah, you saw the magic. Yeah, you literally see how the jizz happened. Yes, yes.
But I was surprised by that, because I knew, because it's marketed obviously as a Melissa McCarthy vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so I was waiting for the Melissa McCarthy character to be more, but it's really, he's the main character.
Yeah. And I don't know who that actor is.
Bill Beretta. He's a puppeteer. Beretta. That's why. Okay.
He did that voice?
He did the voice.
Okay.
And the woman who plays the femme fatale is also a puppeteer.
Okay.
Which is why, because normally, you know, when we watch animation, they're always like stunt casting. Mm-hmm. And they generally do a great job. But then if you ever listen to someone who's an actual voice artist, it's a whole other level. You're like, oh, there's things you're doing, or the range of characters they can do. And this man getting the... Because Bill Beretta is the star of the Happy Time Murders. And I think he has such pathos to him. There's like... He's a Henry Bogart. I'm leaving. The shame. He's got a Humphrey Bogart element. Like, there's all of these things to what he's doing that's like generally sort of world-weary and brow-beaten and then... But human and... Yeah. Ironically.
I will say... I didn't love the movie.
No.
It actually was very encouraging to me as an actor that my favorite scenes were the ones between the human characters of Melissa McCarthy and Maya Rudolph. Those were my favorite scenes, because I realized that type of humor, you really need the bounce off of the other person reacting to the deadpan or the quizzical look. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my job as an actor will not be replaced by puppets. Because those really are the best. Like, I'm not being upgraded, because those really were the funniest ones, were the actual human interactions between Melissa McCarthy's character and Maya Rudolph's characters. Those were my favorite scenes, because just them playing off each other was so funny.
In the quick of the moment.
I really think Maya Rudolph is the MVP in this movie.
Oh, hands down.
She gets the game ball. She has this joke with a banana.
Oh my god!
She does.
I was just about to mention that.
And I love as raunchy as the movie gets, and as like kind of like sex jokes that it gets, that joke could have so easily been played as like an oral sex joke, and it's just the weirdness, absurdity of her wanting to eat a fucking banana, and I was just on the fucking floor laughing.
It was in your apartment. Yeah. So good. I think, I will say I didn't love this movie either.
Yeah.
It's funny because I'm leading with the positives because they were so pleasant, surprising for
totally.
Me. But I do, one of them is, you know, and we've talked in the past about how female comedians are used as actors. And I liked Melissa McCarthy stretching what she was doing and trying this unique thing. Like, I totally agree with Helen that this original story means a lot. And I always want to support more of those. But to me, it wasn't that she wasn't funny. It's that she's in scenes. Phil Phillips is not a funny character. Like, he's set up, you know, as this hard-boiled detective. He's this very specific archetype. He maybe makes some, like, aside grumbly jokes, but he's not a jokester. And she's paired with him as, like, he's the ultimate straight man. And so... But her character is not a wild man. Like, it's not a, you know, wild card going rogue. Like, and so there's something, it's not set up for her to be like hijinks galore. It's more of a character piece, but in something that's absurdist. And so that didn't always work for me. And I didn't feel like she was always as well utilized as she could because of that. But I still liked what she was aiming for.
Yes. Is there a different puppet movie out there that you would all recommend that people should check out?
Oh my god, Labyrinth.
Oh yeah.
Hello.
Coming in quick with Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Because are you right now picturing Jareth doing the thing with the ball?
I'm picturing David Bowie's bulge.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Pants bulge.
He's right about
which should be listed as like the third main character.
Plus it's Jennifer Connelly, who's been stunning since like before she was 12.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
She's I think she's literally 14 or 15 in the movie.
Okay, now I feel gross that I said that.
What was it about Labyrinth that that stuck out to you besides David's Bowie, if you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Hey. David Bowie is amazing in it. He's the sexiest man alive and his junk is prominent. But also it's got
to
really
stir it away from it.
You really did.
You went right back to it.
I'm sorry. I can't. I'm just obsessed with it. His junk. And also there's good, I don't know, there's a corniness and a kitschiness that's sweet.
It's because it's inventive. There's all that amazing stuff, like all the puppets made of the hands. When they get to that wall and it's like the different hands making
yes.
different faces out of them, there's just an artistic artistry. Yep.
And there's parts
yep,
of it that
I
are
said
like,
that.
I heard
you know,
you.
I watched
oh,
it when
damn.
I was young, and there's parts of it that are legitimately scary.
Oh, yeah. Well, on that tip, the Dark Crystal.
Mm.
The Dark Crystal is even darker. These are both Henson,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And the Dark Crystal, I love fantasy, so that was like always in my sweet spot of, ooh, and there's a gen, and he needs to fight, and is it the Skessies? The scary ones?
I think it's either Skessies or like, or, well, I was going to say sketchy, but that
no,
doesn't
it's,
sound right.
I think it's Skessies.
I think it's Skessies, yes.
Yeah, just
they're like the vulture type looking
yeah,
ones,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like the quest of it
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
I love that, but there's also a total scariness
totally.
To it, mm-hmm. which a lot of puppet stuff I think of in terms of they're either super scary or they're super Muppety.
Mm, yes.
My overall, I will always, always come back to the Muppet movie, the original one, and I had an incredible viewing here. You know at the cemetery they do these outdoor
yes.
screenings?
Yes.
So one of the best ones I ever went to, if you've ever been to one of these in Los Angeles or if you ever visit, I recommend it.
Highly recommend.
But you can see the Hollywood Hills, you see the Hollywood sign, it's on the back of Paramount, and it's technically in a cemetery, but you're not on the graves, and they project on this mausoleum, and there was this beautiful summer night, and we're watching the Muppet movie, and I hadn't seen it forever, and I'd forgotten that the whole point of it is that he wants to become a movie star. So the whole thing is about them traveling across country to Hollywood, which I had done at one point.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sitting with hundreds of strangers who had probably done the same thing.
Right.
And it ends with they're in a big sound stage and there's this whole thing and it falls apart and their dream is collapsed. And then like a rainbow comes through and it's just, oh, I started bawling. But it's just Kermit who's like, life is a movie, write your own ending.
Aww.
And then all of these, anyway, it was all Hollywood-y and whatever. And I just remember being like, this is so magical. And the Muppets in it, like each of the characters are so well thought out and they're so funny. And yeah, the Muppet movie, you can't go wrong.
That's what's up.
Love it.
Well, let's wrap it up here. Helen, at the end of all this, we always say, we always let our listeners know if they should screen a movie, meaning see it in the theater, should they stream it, or should they skip it?
Mm.
What do you think they should do with Happy Time Murders?
I think if you haven't seen it by now, it's too late, because I do think it's enjoyable in a full theater. I don't know if you can find a full theater to watch it at this point. Because I wish that I had seen it opening weekend with a full theater, because I think it would have been way more fun. I watched it in an almost completely empty theater, and I feel like, I could be at home on Netflix with this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say screen it, because I would like my friend Todd Brewer to get residuals. I'm actually more of a stream it. But don't tell Todd that.
Okay.
Because I do think this is something I want you to stream it right after you repeat to yourself, like, all right, let's watch the worst movie of the year. And I think the your personal sort of reverse psyching yourself out can make it fun. And it's definitely one like you'll know in 10 minutes if these are the things that land for you. But I do. I think if you're a noir fan, you should check it out just to see how they've bastardized your genre. And yeah, screen it. Wait, yes, stream it.
Which
oh
one?
God.
Oh my God.
I'm confused.
Do you smell toast? Are you having a stroke?
Everything
are you freaking
is
out
cloudy.
Right now? Oh, I am going to go with skip this movie.
Oh.
I would say skip it. I had fun watching it. I don't need to see it again. And it's my issue again, like my issue more with it is like it's not the worst movie of the year. If it's streaming somewhere and you have, you know what, fucking smoke all the weed, yo. Eat all the edibles.
Yeah, I do feel like I would have enjoyed it more if I was high.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because yeah. I was explaining it to, I was describing it to my roommate, and he was like, oh, this sounds like a high stoner film. And I'm yeah. like, yeah, I wish I was high.
The reviews for it were so bad, I went with the rare, I'm not buying popcorn before this movie. Yes. And as I was watching it, I was like, I kind of wish I had popcorn now. God damn it. God this, damn it, Ricky.
The insight of knowing like that you will only eat popcorn if you're enjoying a movie is this, valuable.
It's incredible. I feel like I let in a little too much right there.
We're really behind the
curtain
now.
A little too much behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Strike that from the show, Casey. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to hear from Alonzo, and we are going to play that game, Name That Puppet. I love you. Wow.
The Dead Pilot Society podcast brings you hilarious comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Aubrey Plaza, Andy Richter, Paul F. Tompkins, John Hodgman, Adam Scott, Molly Shannon, Busy Phillips, Tom Lennon, Anna Camp, Laurie Metcalf, Felicia Day, Michael Ian Black, Adam Savage, Paul Scheer, Ben Schwartz, Skylar Astin, Mae Whitman, Josh Molina, Ben Feldman, Nicole Byer, Jason Ritter, Sarah Chalk, Steve Agee, Jane Levy, Allison Tolman, Danielle Nicolette, Casey Wilson, Anna Ortiz, Lorraine Newman, June Diane Raphael, Kieran Shipka, Ed Week, Zach Knight, and Carrie Kenny Silver, John Ross Bowie, Jamie Denbo, Janet Varney, Alexander Torsani, Summer, Ellen Ross, Matt Worley, and many more. Listen at MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you download podcasts.
Welcome back to Who Shot You? I'm your host, Ricky Carmona. Joining me in the studio,
Drea Clark.
Hey, Helen Hong.
Now, before we play our game, Name That Puppet, we've got a message from our boy, El Mero Mero de Navidad, Alonzo Duralde, who is at the Venice Film Festival.
Ooh, la, la. That there. Is bougie.
Yeah, come on now. Come
Venice,
on now.
California or Venice, no. Italy?
It's Venice,
He's
California.
A fancy town.
No, he is on the other side of the planet.
What?
Yeah.
Hot.
Let's take a listen to what he got to say.
Hello, my darlings. It's Alonzo. I'm so sorry to be missing another episode, especially the Happy Time Murders episode, but I am at the Venice Film Festival in beautiful Venice, Italy. This is pretty much where fall award season prestige time kicks off. The festival opened on Wednesday night with the world premiere of Damien Chazelle's First Man, starring Ryan Gosling, and before they're done, they're going to be screening A Star Is Born and Suspiria and new films from Alfonso Cuarón and the Coen brothers and Paul Greengrass. And in addition to the sort of like, you know, high profile Oscar bait glamoury kind of titles, you're also going to see new films from filmmakers like Zhang Yimou and Olivier Assayas and Errol Morris. And of course, the premieres of Orson Welles' final film, The Other Side of the Wind, and Morgan Neville's documentary about him, They'll Love Me When I'm Dead. And that's just the high-profile stuff. They do shorts. There's virtual reality. There are films that the festival itself actually funds, these kind of low-budget films from young filmmakers. So it's a very cool event, and I'm very excited to be here. There was some controversy this year in that there weren't a lot of women directors featured in the competition. I think Jennifer Kent, director of The Babadook, is here with her latest film, and she might be the only one. But I'm hoping that the outcry that occurred this year means that next year will be an even more inclusive lineup. But a lot of great stuff here, and it's wonderful to be in Italy. I'm eating all the gelato and enjoying the beautiful weather, and I am so glad to be here, but also, of course, missing you all terribly. I'll see you very soon. Hope you're all well.
My man, Alonzo.
That was like a postcard.
Right? It totally was. It totally was.
He sounds really upset that he's not here.
Yes.
To talk about the Happy Time Murders.
Well, Alonzo will be back next week. He's going to tell us about everything he saw. He's going to tell us about all the gelato he
I want to be eating all the gelato in Italy.
I was right. like, you can make that happen here. Live your life.
All right, since we watched The Happy Time Murders, we're going to play a round of that classic game that everybody calls Let's Play Name That Puppet.
Name I that love puppet.
You. Wow. Name That Puppet, y'all. The rules, super simple. There's two rounds. Casey, our producer here, he's going to play a clip from a movie that features puppets. We're going to get a point for it. Naming the puppet. a point for naming the movie. If we get one wrong, somebody else can steal that point. And whoever gets the most points will win the game. So, Helen, we are going to start with you.
Okay.
Wait for the whole clip to finish before you answer. And if you don't answer, we can jump in with an answer.
Okay. It's mine to lose. Mine to lose.
If you fail, we can jump in.
Yes.
Yes.
Casey, if you would please play that clip.
Moving right along. Foot loose and fancy free. Getting there is half the fun. Come share it with me. Moving right along. We'll learn to share the load. We don't need a map to keep this show on the road.
Okay, so it was two puppets. Mm-hmm. It was Fozzie Bear and Kermit the Frog. I believe the movie was Muppets Take Manhattan.
The Muppet movie. The Muppet movie.
Oh, after you had just described about it.
We just talked about it.
I actually sang a
she
bit
said,
of that.
She sang the name of the song. I'm saying it, yo.
You got the puppets, though.
I did.
Both of them.
I did get the puppets.
So does she get, does Helen get, I need to go to our judge here, Casey, producer. Does she get
Helen gets 2 points.
Okay. Thank you.
But Drea gets 1 point for stealing that.
Okay. So. All right, let's go.
I haven't watched any of the Muppet movies in literally years.
Yeah. Literally.
So it's
that
just
was
ingrained.
Muscle memory.
Ingrained.
Yeah.
Moving right along. And speaking of moving right along, damn, Ricky. I believe Drea will be next. Casey, play that clip, dog.
Can it be that you're helping this girl?
Helping? In what sense?
In the sense that you're leading her towards the castle.
No, no. I was taken back to the beginning, Your Majesty.
What?
I told her I was going to help her solve the labyrinth. A little trickery on my part.
All right. The puppet is Huggle. The film, Labyrinth. He's speaking with Jareth and, crap, what was her name? Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
I can't remember. Oh, terrible. It's probably something like Lucy.
I don't remember her name either. Jareth and Jennifer Connelly.
I'm going to go with Bertha.
You're going to make that noise again? Ricky doesn't get the bummer noise?
Thank you. Okay.
Jennifer Connelly's character's name is Sarah.
Oh, my
Sarah,
God.
Sarah.
How dare I? Yes. How dare
but
I?
But excellent Hoggle and Jareth.
And Jareth, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, Jareth, I think of plenty.
Okay.
Hoggle, not so much.
I haven't seen Labyrinth, I think, since like the first time I rented it as a kid.
Oh, it's so good.
Does it still hold up?
Yes. Okay. And my best friends and I
it's okay. It's all right.
No, he's not interested in my personal
anecdote. Yeah, we don't have time for your story, Drea. Play the clip!
I don't believe it.
Believe it, baby. It talks.
Am I dreaming this?
No, and you ain't in Kansas, neither.
Something's very wrong here.
I need me some water in the raceway. Look at my branches. I'm drying up. I'm a goner, honey.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's the motherfucking flower from Little Shop of Horrors. And then that's old girl who sings, Suddenly Seymour. Can I get points just for knowing?
You just said his name in the song, so you should.
Seymour is not the name
of
the plant.
Right. That's fair.
The name of the plant is, it's Audrey. Audrey.
Oh,
yeah. And her name is Audrey, too, no? Because it's Audrey 1 and Audrey 2.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Yo.
That was magical.
I'm
that, we, just watching all of the.
You saw it happen. We went there.
Yes.
We took that journey.
Oh,
yo.
My God.
We took that journey.
We saw the creepy, beautiful mind wall you put in your head to make those things. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that was
your
great.
Minority was Report like, was, shoving was, the screens over.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
One more round. All right.
Okay.
So nervous.
Helen, get ready. Let's play that clip for Helen.
So what? You're just going to shut down? I really like you. There's no chance we can ever be together?
Only if you could promise me you'll never die.
You know I can't promise that.
If you did that, I would make love to you right now.
I promise I will never die.
Well, I know it's Team America World Police.
Fuck yeah.
Which is one of the best movies of all freaking time.
Fuck yeah.
But what are their names? Ugh. Their names are some basic white people names.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're like.
That's a bonus point right there.
Hella basic white people. There's something like Jen and Brett.
Oh.
I don't know them either, but
I don't know them either.
I'm like, Jake. I'm trying to think of the lamest.
Super basic
right.
white people.
Jack.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do want to know what they are.
Yeah. I'm going to award 1 point for the both of them because Helen was so on the right track. The names are Lisa and Gary.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give 1 point for the super basic white.
Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you.
Perfect.
That is because that's hella basic.
Yes.
And Lisa
we should.
And
I mean, I might be alone on this, but I think maybe Team America is the best puppet movie.
It really. It's.
Oh, it's incredible.
I mean, right? It's amazing.
You know, I feel it's. If you're gonna watch one puppet movie, you know, I would say watch Team America: World Police. That's just me, though.
If you're an adult that's going to watch one puppet movie.
No, show it to your kids. I say have your kids watch that movie.
Let's play the clip, please.
Don't be afraid. Stanie, Stanie. Dobar. Let's go. Oh, bar, bar. They'll take us.
But, Kira, you don't have to go.
I know.
All right, together then.
Is that Jen and Kira from The Dark Crystal?
Yes.
Wow.
Damn, Andrea.
Damn.
I got really nervous at first because I thought it was a Japanese accent. And I'm like, did you just throw in a foreign title? Like, what are we? And then I was like, why in the world would they have a Japanese accent and not be subtitled? Yeah, thank you.
Wow, so many points,
y'all.
All right, well, I believe this is my turn now.
All right, Ricky.
Play that clip, dog.
In life, the Marleys had been business partners with a shrewd moneylender named Ebenezer Scrooge. You will meet him as he comes around that corner.
Where?
There.
When?
Now.
That is a Muppet Christmas Carol. I believe that was my boy. Oh, man. It's not Gonzo. Who's the other one? Is it Gonzo? Do I get a point for knowing Michael Caine plays Ebenezer Scrooge? God damn it.
Is Scooter in that?
God damn it.
I thought he was talking to Scooter. This little satin jacket. Okay, I got it. Damn. Somebody take producer Casey's stupid button.
That's all I know is that's Gonzo, dude.
Was it Gonzo?
Or it's not. It is Gonzo. It is, yes, yes. But I don't know.
Wait, you didn't ding him.
Thank you.
Yeah, give him a ding.
It's official now. It's official. It's a lock.
So that's 2 dings, yeah. Okay, who's he talking to?
I don't. I'm going to forfeit.
Was there another character in that clip?
Yeah. Oh, I got it. Rizzo. Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rizzo the rat.
I forgot about him.
All right. Well, let's get a tally of the points here. Casey, who is our victor?
All right. In third place, Helen with 3 points.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you.
In second place, Ricky Carmona with 5 points.
Thank you. Shout out to Audrey.
And in first place, Drea Clark with 8 points.
Yes! You guys, all I do is win, no matter what. Why, thank you. You guys, my family grew up playing Name That Puppet, so I'm a little proud.
I'm actually, I'm impressed with myself at that, how much I knew.
Yes.
Not really.
And you had to go first, which is always a little
intimidating. And not being a puppet movie fan, really.
Andrea, as the winner of Let's Play Name That Puppet, I love you. Uh-huh. You're going to get a free trip to Jim Henson Studios, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I can't wait to cash in and redeem my free trip.
Wow.
Well, I mean, we're going to have to like work that out. And, you know, we're going to have to like
fill out forms. I thought she just got a dirty sock that she could use as a puppet if she so chose.
Ricky wrote on it with a Sharpie and it says free trip to Jim Henson Studios.
Yes.
The name of the sock.
It looks great, though. It looks great.
I'm excited to dominate.
Yes. Yes,
take
all the selfies.
You deserved it. You were very impressive.
That feels really good. Thank you.
All right, it's almost time for us to go, but before we go, let's give out some staff picks, shall we? At the end of the show, Helen, we just movies that we recommend to anyone. They can be in the theater. They can be streaming. It can be your favorite movie. No rules, no holds barred here. What do you have for the people?
I just rewatched In Bruges on Netflix. Yes. Excellent.
Martin McDonagh.
So, so funny. I LOL'd again. And with heart as well, like suspense and thriller and heart and hilarity in Bruges.
Okay. All right.
Good.
That's what's up.
Thank you.
That's a good one. Drea, what do you got for the people?
There is a film out right now called Support the Girls, directed by Andrew Bujalski. Might be saying his name wrong, but he is classic white guy indie filmmaker who came up through the festival system. He had a film called Funny Haha and Mutual Appreciation and something else, and then Computer Chess, which was great, and won Sundance a couple of years ago. And what I find really interesting is I enjoy Support the Girls so much just as a movie, but I really like that a dude making his own way like Andrew Bujalski would say, you know what I'd like to do for my next film? I'd like to do a really introspective yet comedic take on a female perspective of a Hooters restaurant. So a Hooters-style restaurant. So it stars Regina Hall as this incredible, like, harried restaurant manager who's trying to take care of all of the women who work for her who are being objectified to a certain point because it's a restaurant. And one of them is Haley Lou Richardson, who's incredible in it. Like, she's, to me, like, got this whole Marilyn Monroe, like, perky dum-dum thing. It's in, which is really hard to pull off. And they're all going through things, so it's all sort of packed into one day. Problems with the restaurant. She's a manager. Problems with her marriage. Problems with, and it's just her, this woman dealing with all of this stuff in her life, and it's so real, and it's such a unique location, and it's fun and interesting and thoughtful, and it should be getting a lot more attention. And I know April Wolf would pull my pigtails off if I also didn't say something about it in her absence. So, yes, Support the Girls. Check it out. Indie filmmaking needs your love, and encourage them filmmakers to think outside of the box.
Yeah, it was just released like on VOD, correct?
Yeah. It's out right now.
Yeah, she mentioned that movie to me before. She was a big fan of it. Support the Girls, y'all. I'm going outside the box here. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm back to work, so I don't get to, like, I'm not watching as many movies now that I can come in and be like, yo, y'all need to watch this. Here's movies that I've watched recently that everybody has, I mean, we've fucking spoken ad nauseum about them. I'm on a John Carpenter kick. I've watched Halloween. I've watched They Live. And I've watched Big Trouble in Little China. But, I mean, you know, those are what they are. I'm in the process. These are the movies I'm going to watch next week. And I will, which the one I enjoy the most is what will be my staff pick for next week. I'm going to watch Crush Groove. I'm going to watch Jacob's Ladder. And I'm going
for the first
to.
Time?
No, I've seen it before.
Okay.
These are movies that I'm revisiting. And I'm going to watch The Five Deadly Venoms, which is a kung fu film that is on Netflix. So
you have a whole.
Oh, I'm telling you, yo.
There's no. That's. They're all outside of different boxes.
This is the episode where I'm letting y'all in behind the curtain, y'all.
Really?
I'm letting you see how the motherfucking brain works.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to be happening next week. I will either be telling you, yo, y'all need to fuck with Crush Groove. Y'all need to fuck with Jacob's Ladder.
Do you have a fuck with for this week? Or are you just like, yeah, got nothing.
I got nothing. I mean, watch one of those Carpenter movies, but like.
Sure.
Watch Team America if you're going to, you know, since we're talking about puppets.
Mm-hmm. Team America, that's on theme.
Yeah, Team America's awesome. I'm just trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be honest with
the
people
out there.
Listen,
as the person who makes the Excel grid saying what we picked each week, I just want a concise answer, Ricky.
Okay, all right,
I'm putting Team America
Team
for
America,
you, my friend.
Final answer. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Hey, shout out to, I went to our Facebook page today. Well, I think we're at over 400 members now. On our Facebook page. Shout out to them.
And they ask the best questions. I will say, because I'm in like deep festival mode right now, so I can't spend time on social media like I would like to. But every other day or something, someone will put a question up, like asking either for a recommendation or they'll put their own. And they're so good, and I could spend 5 hours like either reading them or like researching to be like, oh, that is good. I bet I know that. What's in my anyway?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
It's fantastic. I am no longer on social media as much because I want my sanity back.
Mm.
So I've been, but yes. What I have been doing is just every once in a while I will dip in and I'll see what's going on the Facebook Who Shot Ya page. I see the people who tweet at our Who Shot Ya Twitter account. So I see all that shit and that gives me joy. And then I get the fuck out of there. Also, who gives us joy are the people who leave us 5-star reviews. We've been reading a lot of those. We're going to hold off on reading those this week, let them build up, and then we'll probably have some to read next week. I'll tell you what we are going to start doing here. We're going to have a Who Shot Ya hotline.
Oh, my God.
We want to literally hear from you all out there. You can call a number, which I will tell you what that is in a second. You can call a number, leave a voicemail. Our question that we want you all to answer this week is, what regular human movie should be remade with puppets?
It's so good.
And
such
why?
Such a good question.
Yeah.
And why? What regular human movie should be remade with puppets?
Mm.
And why? Call us at the number. It's WSY, because we are called Who Shot Ya.
Who Shot Ya?
Pick that up there. Call us at the number WSY 803-1664. You'll hear my voice, my sultry voice,
if I may,
and leave a message at the beep with your answer, and we will read them on the show here. Again, what regular human movie should be remade with puppets and why? And the number is WSY 803-1664. We want to hear y'all. We want to hear what you all got to say. Helen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Did you have fun? That was dope, right?
I had a blast. I had a great time.
That's what's up.
I never thought that talking about jizzing puppets would be this entertaining.
And lo and behold, here we are.
You clearly need to do it more. That's all.
Puppages.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to be talking about Destination Wedding with Riley Silverman will be in the building.
Yay.
That will be exciting. If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, you can tweet at us at WhoShotYaPod. Send us an email at WhoShotYaMaximumFun.org. Our producer, like I said, is Casey R. Bryan. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher.
Yay.
Shout out to Drea Clark. It's good to see you again, Drea.
Yay, good to see you.
Thank you for being here. This has been a production of MaximumFun.org, and that's what's up, yo.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.